Okay, welcome everyone to the class. Again, sorry I wasn't here last week. Wasn't feeling so well. This class should be dedicated for the success and growth of Ronit Orly Bat Nuri, for her and her family, for me and my family, and for everybody in this room and your extended families. Obviously, the nation of Israel is one. Refuah Shlema, Gavriel ben Miriam, Mary Yisrael ben Revia Esther, Yosef ben Miriam, Oz ben Michal, Reza bat Sulika, Ronin ben Rachel, Bosh ben Orly, Chaya bat Rachel, Yonatan ben Natalie, Chaim ben Asher, Chana bat Sarah, Chana bat Dovra, Yaakov ben Alis, Betzalel Yehuda ben Chana Henya, and Michal ben Tovo. Leilu Nishmat, Daniel Mordechai ben Regina, David ben Masuda, Shaul Arye ben Simcha, Ronen ben Rachel, Esther Titi Vatrina, Reb Shmayel ben Reb Avraham Weinschneider, Rafraim Menachem Mendel ben Yitzchak Yaakov Yablonovich, and for the finding of Zivug of Yonatan Shmuel ben Rachel, and everybody in Am Yisrael who needs one. Everybody, if we could quickly say a parak of Tehillim together, for Michael ben Tovo, he had a heart attack today, and he's in surgery. Shila ma'alot, sayinai al-harim, ma'ayin yavo ezri, ezri me'im Adonai, hose shamayim va'aretz, aditen lamut aglecha, ayanum shomecha, hine lo yanum velo ishan, shomer Yisrael, Adonai shomecha, Adonai tzilecha al yad yaminecha, yomam ha'shem yishlekeka, ve'areach balayla, Adonai yishmocha mikol ha'yishmot nafshecha, Adonai yishmot zkabuecha, me'ata ve'adonam. B'ezrat Hashem, Michael ben Tovo shall have a speedy recovery and come back to his family very soon. Amen. Okay. Welcome, everyone. It's good to see everybody. Some familiar faces. Just a quick introduction to everybody who's coming for the first time, or if you missed me last week. Baruch Hashem, we started this class really to make an inspiration in Miami, to make a light, to make a strong light. Like I was saying before, this building is empty, 50,000 square feet of empty land. So we're really looking to build here a Torah center, minyanim, shiurim, but all that comes with time, it comes with the right people, and it comes with, of course, the right sponsors and everybody who would want to be a part of it. I think looking around the world, there's a lack of really, you could say, a Torah space that doesn't come making you feel like judged or you can come and really be yourself. So really my idea behind this place, and of course the owner of the shul, the rabbi, we really wanted to come and to spread Torah in Miami. Of course, if you look in New York, in Brooklyn, Queens, Long Island, there's a lot of very strong Torah over there. And of course here in Miami, the Shorashim, and not to mention other communities of Torah and growth. But really, the whole purpose of me moving here and all of this is to really come and to spread light here in South Florida, Bezrat Hashem. Of course, we're in difficult times right now with the Jewish nation, the Jewish people at large, and there's a lot of fear in the air, there's a lot of tension, there's a lot of a feeling of misplacement, there's a lot of a feeling of what's happening next in Jewish history. What's happening, what's the next direction of what's supposed to happen in the calendar, in Yemei Mashiach, like the current of history is closing right in front of our eyes. And there's so much happening in the world. So what's really the message for the Jewish people? The message is as follows. We all go through difficult things every day. We all have things that we want or things that or hurt us in the past, maybe traumas, certain depressions, anxieties, fears, etc. Certain people that hurt us. Everyone has their package. Everyone has their burden. And I think everyone coming to this class tonight hopes that they're going to hear something that's going to make tomorrow a little bit better. Hopes that they're going to hear something that might make tomorrow a little bit more manageable or a little bit easier. Hoping you're going to come and hear a word of sweetness, of metikut. And that's really what Torah is. Torah is sweetness. Sweetness in the person's life. And we're all going through difficult things. Every single person in this room, married, single, rich, poor, everything in the middle. We're all looking for a sense of comfort, for a sense of, I want to feel better in my life. And really the way for a person to feel better in their life is very simple. Sometimes we can get distracted and think that our happiness is there outside of ourselves, somewhere else. But the answer is that it's not true. Happiness is found within. This Shar Bitachon, when I bought it, I think it was $30. And people spend thousands of dollars to feel happy, buying nice cars, going to fancy parties, spending money on luxury things. And I'm not taking away from this world. Of course, if you have the money, by all means, enjoy it. But don't forget the purpose of why you're here. Don't forget that the only real thing that's going to get you feeling good and feeling satisfaction, contentment, happiness, all of these amazing feelings that we like to talk about, is getting close to Hashem. I have a very unpopular idea that I believe that if a person truly, truly works on Hashem, like meaning get, on their service to Hashem, on getting close to Hashem, by any means, which way. I like this room, it's more personal. In the other room, I feel like I'm far away from everyone. Here it's more, you know, you could throw something at me if you could. so really, what it is that nowadays we like to think that everything is outside of ourselves. You know, there was once there was a yeshiva bacher that went to his Rosh Hashiva, and he asked him, you know, Rabbi, on New Year's Eve, if you look at the clubs in the city, all the goyim, they're having, sometimes unfortunately Jews are there too, but they're having so much fun, they're dancing, they're raving, what's going on, what's the pshat? And the Rosh Hashiva told him an answer that I can't forget till this day when I heard this. He said, if you go to a fish tank and you pull a fish out and you leave it like on the table, what's going to happen? The fish is going to start to jump. Why? Because it's grasping for air. The fish's air is the water. Also, like a Jew, the water, Torah, same thing. But anyways, so the fish is jumping because it's dying. Same thing with these people going to parties and you know, using different substances to feel a high, etc. Really, by the way, when you take the high, you collapse right after. But getting close to Hashem, you build up slowly. It takes time. It's effort. It's a relationship. It takes time. It's not a simple thing. Keeping Shabbat, tzitzit, tefillin, minyanim, learning Torah, getting closer to Hashem. For women, it's of course different things. They have their own mitzvot, like modesty and hafrashah challah and lighting Shabbat candles. All very, very beautiful things. But what happens when a person slowly works on their relationship with Hashem? And of course, we're all, I'm sure, in this room, everyone here either learns, works, is busy. It's very practical to take it into your life every single day. But what happens when you finally get to that top? It stays. It's not like where you can drink and you can feel really good, like it opens you up, tipsy, whatever it is, and then the high is there and then it comes down. It's the opposite when it comes to getting close to Hashem. When you get to that highness, that feeling, it doesn't leave you. It's something that never goes away. And even when you have not, you can say not the most productive days where you didn't learn as much or talk to Hashem as much or you missed the minyan, you still have what to lean on because you have so many weeks and months of hard work. And that's really what it is. It's going to be very hard to get close to Hashem and to succeed in life and to start to see results, but it's also going to be very hard to run away from your own greatness, your own potential. It's going to be very hard to lose and to be sad and to not hit your goals and your purpose in this world. And I know you might be thinking to yourself, well, what do you mean, Jonathan, get close to Hashem? How can I do that practically? I'm a busy person. I sometimes think God gave up on me or God doesn't want to be close to me. It's the farthest thing from the truth. As long as a person's breathing in this world, taking in air, waking up every single morning, seeing opportunities in front of them every single day, a person has to understand that Hashem woke you up today because He believes in you. He believes that you can get close to Him. And Hashem actually can see things that we would never see in a million years, because with our current state, our current level, we can only imagine for ourselves, well, me on my best day, I'm going to be doing A, B, and C. But Hashem sees more than that. Hashem sees your entire life. And really, the only scary thing is not what can go wrong. The scariest thing is a person not hitting their own potential. Because we all want to be great. We all want to marry the right person. We want to have a happy marriage with that person. We want to have a marriage of oneness. A marriage where the man guards his eyes and is saving himself for his wife. And the same thing with the woman, always thinking about the other person, thinking about giving to the relationship, coming to the relationship in the sense of I want to devote my time to my other half. And also in the business world, we all want to go into business and we want to succeed. But it's not, the rules in the Torah of succeeding is not the rules of what you're going to learn in school. The rules in the Torah to succeed in the financial world is to have emunah and bitachon and to give your money to charity and to continue to give. The more you give, the more you'll receive. The more that person takes upon him or herself the all of Torah, not just learning Torah, which is the most important thing a person can do, but to also practice Torah, meaning speaking honestly, not speaking negatively about people, you know, just being a genuine, kind-hearted person, not judging people, working on your midah, coming closer to Hashem every day, everything else seems to open up for you in your life. Because like we said in the past, every single day when a person wakes up in the morning, there's a certain percentage, a calculation of how much difficulty a person has to go through. And when a person takes upon himself, you know what, Monday night I'm committing, I'm going to go to this Shar Bitachon class, I want to learn an hour of Torah, that difficulty to sit and to focus and to concentrate and to listen and not to pull out your phone and to, you know, to drive here, to spend the gas, to spend the time, to spend the money, all that difficulty, Hashem takes away from something else you have to go through. If a person has to have a very hard day at work tomorrow, now that they took upon themselves this hour of learning, it's going to be taken away from them. And that's literally how it works in life. It's measure for measure. Hashem appreciates so much when his son or daughter is learning Torah, keeping Shabbat on the right track, that Hashem will measure for measure take away other burdens and difficulties that you have to go through throughout the rest of your day, your week, or life, whatever it is. So if a person typically works on Shabbat, but now they start keeping it, Hashem is waiting for a Jew's Shabbat observance every week. He's waiting for it. He wants for the woman to light candles, to make challah, for the man to get dressed, to go to shul, to learn Torah on Shabbat. He's waiting for this. Hashem is waiting for it. That's how much He loves you and wants to be close to you. And we misinterpret in this generation, especially all the hardships in our life is for the purpose of getting us closer to Hashem. So like we said in the beginning of the class, we all have difficulties and hardships in our life. Every person in this room feels pain. But the question is, what do you do with the pain? Mima'amakim k'raticha Hashem, Hashem shima bekoli. From the depths of our pain and burden and sorrow, we call out to Hashem, He hears our voice and he brings us closer to Him. That's the purpose of our hardships in life. Every person, like I said, everyone's coming to this room with the aspiration to hear one thing that's going to make tomorrow a little bit easier. And that's really the message. The message is that getting closer to Hashem will change the entire dynamic of your life, how you see things, how you process things, how you look at the world. And I believe, you know, I think I said this in the past. I gave a class last week for only women, and I said this in the class. I'm going to post this soon on Spotify. But I was saying in the class that if you take a glass plate, you break it, you put it together, you're going to see the cracks in between. When it comes to Judaism and a relationship with Hashem, I don't believe that's true when it comes to a person's heart. Because a broken heart won't just have the cracks in between. If a person connects to Hashem in the right way, with the right attitude, with the right effort, you can completely take all of your burden and pain. Let's say a breakup where someone was cheated on or stolen from or lied to or tricked or deceived. All these difficulties and pain that we feel. And by the way, pain can be measured, just FYI. So if anyone tries to tell you, well, what you're going through is not so bad, then tell that person, go and take a walk. You can't measure pain. Whatever the way that we experience pain in our own neshama's experience is very unique for us to grow. So that's the first thing. No one can tell you how to feel pain, how to experience it. It's valid and it's justified. And if you feel it, there's no one in the world that you can talk to that will understand your suffering. Talk to Hashem, because He's right there with you. He knows exactly how you feel. And it's almost like funny in a way, because everything that a person can look for so much and scroll and buy and purchase and just run towards, it's like, buddy, it's right in front of you. Stop what you're doing, close the technology, open up your mouth and talk to Hashem. Tell Him how you're feeling. When you do that, it works. When you take time out of your day to talk to God, it actually works. It actually reaps fruits. It reaps benefits. It makes you feel better. Another thing, Hashem is with you when you're not always on the right track, because that's part of your journey. It's part of your goal. It's part of your process. I don't know if I said this in the class, but I have a friend in Brooklyn who's married now, Baruch Hashem, with two kids. And when he wasn't so religious and he was going out to clubs and parties, he told his friends, when I go out with you guys, my boundary is don't make me do something inappropriate. I don't have to say whether it's drinking, this, going, doing inappropriate things with the other. You know, don't push me there. I'm going to come with the boys. I want to have a good time. And that was like his, you know, like we say, opening for Hashem. The little small thing that he did, he's still going to be there doing his thing, maybe even sometimes going on Shabbat. Again, it's not for me to, I wouldn't do it, but it's not for me to judge. Everyone's on their own level with their own environment and friends and surroundings. And that's their purpose, to be in that place where they were basically born into, and to elevate and say, I want to be closer to you no matter what. I want to go for you, Hashem. And it's not an easy thing to do. And that was the opening that my friend took. And slowly, I brought him on a path, start going to classes, listening to shiurim, changing his life around, waking up early, putting tefillin, minyan. I saw it happen. And today he's married with two kids. And you see it time and time again. That's why, like, I'm talking to myself, the best advice to get married, to see salvations, to have happiness throughout your day, to make money, everything, one thing only. Take upon yourself to learn Torah and to actually fulfill the Torah that you learn. And this is specifically for the men, by the way, and for the women too, to push your husbands to go learn, and for the men to sit down and learn. Because it's very hard to learn Torah, which we're going to do very shortly. This is also considered learning Torah. Think about it for a second. We talk about it, learning Torah. What is it practically? You're taking your brain, and you're coming with everything that you know, and the difficult day you just had, right? And you're coming and trying to insert new information. Your brain wants to relax, watch Netflix, reject it. maybe take a walk. And you're coming and doing the complete opposite of whatever makes sense to you. You're coming to a class, it's difficult. You know you're coming to grow and to hear new ideas, and you're going against your nature. And by the way, when you break your nature for Hashem, measure for measure, He breaks His nature for you, FYI. And you're coming to learn something new. And that's why I always say with these classes, when you're coming to learn Shaar Bitachon or any Torah or any means which way of growing and getting closer to Hashem, you have to try your best. It's not easy, but to erase what you've learned until now and to install new information. And this new information is as follows. A life of Torah is a life of metikut. It's a life of sweetness. A life of learning, real sacrifice, real sitting down, leaving the phone in the car, and learning Torah with the right person, with the right environment, with the right energy, and of course for the women to push your husbands to learn and to do your own things, which is praying, and for women it's a very big thing to bring girls together, to do different types of classes and events, hafrasha chal, these are amazing things to do. And but also to push the husband to learn, because the learning of the Torah is what keeps the world going, and it's what it is the life force of our life. It says Torah hi Torah chaim. This is actually it's very interesting. I'll tell you guys a quick story. Chacham Ovadia's son is Rav Yitzchak Yosef, right? And his brother Rav David Yosef just became the Rashi Yisrael. So when I was making my content in the beginning, I would literally have a whole productive day, and at night I would get different opportunities to go and interview different rabbis or people that I was trying to build my page with. One night I get a flyer from a friend of mine, Chaim Nezri, if you're listening to this. I actually just saw him a couple of days ago. And it says on the flyer, Rav Yitzchak Yosef is in town. Gadol Ador. And I, being the crazy person that I am, crazily ambitious, whatever you want to call it, I see this and I'm like, you know what? That's Hashem calling my name to interview him. I don't know how the heck I was going to do it. I didn't know how the heck I was going to do it. But I'm like, you know what? Let me show up to the shul and try. So I go to Bnei Yosef on Ocean Parkway in Brooklyn, in front of you, any of you who are familiar, sit shul. And I walk inside. I see all the paparazzi. Everyone's there. I was on the third floor. I walk in, I see him, I see a light on his face. We talk, I'm like, wow, this is insane. My father was actually very close to Chaim Ovadia. He was a Ben Bait in Yerushalayim. He was very close to him. He used to literally bring in people to see him. Crazy stuff. So to me, it was like a personal thing. I'll actually show you guys. It's even my, I don't know if it'll let me, it's recording, but Chaim Ovadia is my wallpaper on my phone. Oh, it's not going to work. I'll show you guys after. Sneak peek for the people in person. I like looking at a gadol throughout my day. It makes me happy. You go in the studio, gadolim on the wall. It's amazing. Some people like Rolls Royces and Bentleys. I like gadolim. Esh, America. It's my favorite thing. So anyways, we go to the third floor. I see Rav Yitzchak Yosef standing there giving a drasha in a room full of people. And I'm like, I don't know how we're going to do this, but Hashem gave me an idea. It tells me, talk to Shomrim. I go talk to Shomrim. Hi, this is what I do. I want to interview the rabbi. This person leads me to that person, to this person, to that person. Finally, I get to the gabbai. After playing Where's Waldo for the past 20 minutes, we get to the gabbai. I show him what I do. He's like, okay. He gives me an address. Go here. In 1 hour, I'm going to be there with the rabbi. You can have a couple minutes with him and you can do your video. I'm like super, I'm ecstatic, I'm going crazy. I'm like, no way, it's about to happen. I'm about to interview the Gdol Ador. I'm freaking out. I jump into my car. I zoom down to, I think it was Avenue X or U, whatever. And big, beautiful house. I walk in, knock on the door. It was open. I just walk in. And I say, anyone home? And I hear a voice. Yeah, in the office. I walk into the office. And this is where I meet a very big philanthropist in New York. His name is Harry Ajmi, to those of you who know. To those of you who know him, he's a very big supporter in the community for many, many things. And that was where I actually made a connection with him, which is amazing. For the next 2 hours until the rabbi came, I was talking to him, telling him about what I do. And he was like crazy about me. He was like very impressed. I was showing him videos. It was really fun meeting him. Like he's like a very, I don't know, I think he's a cool person. So long story short, the reason why I'm telling you guys this story is because I read in the book by Naftali Horowitz that there's always going to be in life that room that successful people are in. You know, like those meetings and those conferences and those things. And there's always, you know, more space in the room to push yourself in if you, you know, if you go on the right path. So I'll tell you why it's relevant. Fast forward 2 hours of chilling with Harry. Finally, Rav Yitzchak Yosef comes with the whole entourage, and there's I think... I don't know if it was the mayor or someone close to the mayor. There was the chief of police. There was all these Rabbi Yadid, all these like chashuva people. And everyone's coming into the house. And that was me, 22-year-old guy who was making videos on TikTok and Instagram. So and in that moment, I was like, wow, like all this kiruv and getting people closer to Hashem, this genuine, you know, good intention, this good, you know, whatever it is, it got me to this room. Hashem brought me here. And then I'm like, how am I gonna get this video? Everyone's here, and this, like, how am I gonna get through? Like, it's pressuring, you know, in those moments, because like it's like, what, you're gonna stop everybody from doing what they're doing and get them to focus on you? All of a sudden, Kol Shofar Chazak Meod, Harry Ajmi goes, everyone quiet, Jonathan's gonna do a video with the rabbi. And I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. Everyone gets nervous because it's Harry, obviously. And then I walk to the front. And I give the camera to someone, and we do the video. Why am I telling you this? Why am I telling you this? Because the question that I asked Chaim Yitzchak Yosef in the video, you can actually see it on my Instagram. If you go to my reels, it's pinned. I asked him the following question. I love meeting the closest people to Hashem, and like kind of getting out of them an answer that's relevant to what's going on, like, for us regular simple people. Like, what's the message for us? Obviously, you're there, but like, what about me? I also want to be close to Hashem. Of course, I'm never going to get to that level of, you know, Gdol Hador, but you could become your own, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, in a way. Person can become their own great person for the people around them, and for, it's not in a discouraging way, you know, but a person is supposed to become the best Jonathan that you could be, the best whatever your name is that you could be. Not to be unrealistic and say, I'm gonna get to that, you know, Yitzchak Yosef level. It's just not realistic. Unless you're special neshama, of course. So I asked him the following question. This is a question that whenever I had the chance to interview a very big holy rabbi, I asked him the same question. I asked him, and when I listened to the recording, it took me maybe 50 times to listen to it till I finally understood what he was saying. I asked him, we had the honor to be here today in Hebrew, of course, with the rabbi. I said, give the viewer watching a reason to change everything in their life and to choose to get closer to Hashem. And what I meant by that question is that we're very distracted by a million and one things. Give a person a real solid reason to come and to get closer to Hashem. It's what, so many distractions, work, business, dating, how do I date, how do I make money, how do I do this, how do I do that? Give a person a reason to leave everything and to get closer to Hashem. And the rabbi gave an answer that at first I was shocked, because it was right before Pesach, and he was talking about Yetziat Mitzrayim, he was talking about how Hashem took the Jews from slaves and made them free men, and all this stuff. And then he said a pasuk, he said a Torah yi Torat Chaim, Mishivat Nafesh, etc., you know, it calms the mind, etc. And I was listening to the video over, and I was like, what did he mean by that? And then then Hashem gave me the clarity. Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef was saying, a Torah hi Torat Chaim. This Torah that we live by and learn, it's a Torah of life. Meaning, without the Torah, you're not truly alive. Freedom is freedom from, it's not financial, freedom is freedom from the Yetzer Hara. When a person learns Torah, like it says in Masechet Kiddushin, Daflam and Amud Be, when a person learns Torah, they're burning the evil inside of them, because everyone has bad thoughts, bad inclinations, you know, an attraction towards negativity. But when you learn Torah, you're completely burning up, you're soref, you're burning all of that negativity inside of you. That's why whenever I give classes to women, I say, you want to have a great life, push your husband to go learn. He's going to go learn, he's going to come back, his midot are going to be the real him. Rav Meir Eliyahu always says in his speeches that when he's not in a good mood, his wife tells him, you know, Meir, you're not Meir right now, you're not yourself, go learn Torah. He goes, he learns, he comes back a couple hours later, all of a sudden he's open, he's talking, he's loving, he's kind, he's himself. Because the Torah is what makes you, it's what makes you really alive. And that's the definition of freedom. To be free from this, from the constrictions of this world, from everything that holds us down. To be free from all the stuff that's pulling us in different directions. Because when a person really comes and sacrifices and learns Torah and applies it and lives it, it's the best possible life you can live. You don't have to download dating apps. You don't have to, I don't know, pay someone some crazy amount of money for their course and their mentorship. You don't have to buy, look, chase, ask people to be your friend. No, when the person learns Torah and really does it l'shem shamayim, they become a magnet. And everything that's meant to come into their life will. Why? Because you could use a dating app and you could pay an extraordinarily massive lump sum of money to a college institution or to a course or to someone to mentor you in business. You could do these things, and sometimes they'll even work. And majority of the times they might work. But what's the whole idea of learning Torah? When a person is mekabel on himself all Torah, l'shem shamayim, when a person takes upon himself the burden of getting close to Hashem by learning Torah, specifically sitting, opening the book, and learning. Not learning with your phone on the side. No, the phone gets shut off. Not learning with some distraction. Not learning while you're in the car driving. You pull it up, you read a couple. No, real sitting and learning. Because to the extent that you disconnect from the world and connect to Hashem, that's to the extent that Hashem, while you're learning, will fix everything for you in your life. You don't have to look for a soulmate. You don't have to look for a living. You don't have to do anything. When you sit and learn Torah and really accept it upon yourself, the more hours, the better. Hashem will all of a sudden send you a business opportunity where you're going to be able to make a great living in 2-3 hours a day. All of a sudden, you're going to get a phone call or a text, or you're going to be in the right place at the right time without trying to do it at the right time, if you know what I mean, trying to bring it closer before it's time. No. The Gemara says, "Kol ha-docheket ha-sha'a, sha'a docheket oto." Everybody who pushes the hour pushes them back. When you sit and learn Torah and show Hashem that Hashem, let's say my hours are every week Monday, I'm starting, right, example, from 8 to 9 with this, and then a guy's like, you know what, I want to learn an hour a day, and 2, and 3, and 5, and 6, Hashem knows, wow, you know, he's going to be, or she, make a class, etc., women too, he or she is going to be doing, serving me, no matter what, like a clock, because Hashem is going to test you. All of a sudden, in 1 week, you're going to have something at this specific time, and it's going to be a big test. You know, one time, it might sound crazy, but when I was living in Brooklyn, I had a set time to learn every night. It was from 7:45 to 9:30, and no one was moving me from that time. And then a very big opportunity came. To me, it was a big opportunity. Maybe to you guys, it might sound silly, but anyone never heard of Rudy Rachman on Instagram? So he came back from, he was serving in the IDF. He came back and it was like really when he was like hot at the time, because he was like posting all those soldier pictures and stuff. And he did some like limited exclusive events in the city, I think in which restaurant? Reserve Cut, one of those places, and he invited me. And it was a list of maybe like 30, 40 people, like a very limited list. And the mayor, Eric Adams, was gonna be there, and all these like cool influencers. And since he's my friend, he's like, "Jonathan, this could be a good opportunity for you." And he sent me the invitation. And there was pressure too, because he was like, "Let me know if you're gonna come. If not, I'll give it to someone else, but I want to help you." And I had a big test, because it was, I think, Monday or Tuesday, and I have my shiur. So I'm like, wait, this is like a test from Hashem. Am I about to... And of course, I don't always pass the test, but like this is the time when I was really like committed to those hours, and I was like not movable at all. It just goes to show you that Hashem knows when you're serious, because then he sends a big test your way. So halavai, I should do this for the rest of my life. Amen. That what I did this night. But I call my rabbi and I'm like, "Rabbi, I have a big test tonight." He goes, "What's the test?" I go to him, I say the hard thing first. So funny, Rabbi Vakni, so cute. I tell him the hard thing first. I'm like, "I have this big event with Rudy Rachman and the mayor." And he's like, "So go, what's the question?" I'm like, but I also have a Shiur Torah on Avenue O in East 8. He's like, "Regular class?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes to me, "Go to the Shiur Torah. The Hashem will send something else your way if it's meant to be." I sent Rudy a text with a clean heart. I'm like, "Rudy, I'm not going. Thank you for the opportunity." And I went to go learn. Now, can I tell you now some extravagant thing came out of that could like sound, you know, nice for the ear to hear? No. I don't know what happened. I didn't go. But do I regret not going? Absolutely not. Because going for that hour to learn, whatever it was, 2 hours, you have to understand something. You can't expect some massive thing to come out of your life and change when you come and sit and learn Torah and commit time to it. It's not fair almost. What do you think Hashem is, like Hollywood paparazzi? You're going to learn $1 million the next day? No, it's not realistic. The whole idea is that the learning is going to give you a feeling that those things cannot. And even though you might sometimes get a quick rush, you know, driving a nice car. Anyone you know that leases a nice car, you can ask them after 2 weeks, the excitement's over. It's like, okay, I want to get the next thing. And then by the way, when you get the 400 horsepower, then you don't like the 3. And when you get the 600 horsepower, you can't go back to the 5. So when it comes to physicality, it's like the higher you go, the more fancy it is, you can't go back. When you buy a Patek Philippe watch, go put on a G-Shock. It doesn't go together. When you taste these things, it's very hard to take it out of your psyche because it becomes part of your identity, part of who you think you are, etc. That's why when it comes to luxurious things, of course, live this world. I don't want to say something that's like too far to grasp. I'm talking to myself, but don't make it like everything. And when you feel like you're really growing and connecting to Hashem in the right way, newsflash, you're not going to want those things. You're going to be able to leave your house and to drive. And look, I'm talking to myself. I like nice things. I drive a BMW. And I'm not trying to put something out there that's hard to grasp. But I'm talking to myself when I say this, that the more that a person learns and connects, because I've been there in those moments where I was ready to like get rid of my car and get something simpler. I even had 3-4 accidents that happened to my car. And every single time that my car got into it, 3-4 accidents on a BMW, it's unheard of. And every single time, some big deal with the insurance and this. But every single time my car got into an accident, for 2 weeks to a month, I'm renting some Mazda or some simple car. And I can literally testify and say that those couple weeks when I wasn't driving my car, I felt so much closer to Hashem. You don't even realize it subconsciously. You drive a nice car and like you almost like expect a show. But when you drive a simple car, you go from point A to point B, you go to your destination, you just use the car for what it is, and your whole life almost changes. Because it makes perfect sense, because it's almost like you can't, the more that you disconnect from this world, what's happening, you're allowing space for Hashem to come in naturally without even realizing it. The more that you disconnect from Olam Hazeh, Hashem fills the void, because there's only a certain amount of space that there is to fill. So when you disconnect from Olam Hazeh, you automatically allow Hashem to come in and to fill the space. Same thing in life. The more that a person connects to Hashem, and I know that I'm like being redundant on this topic, but I really want to get the message through. When a person sits and learns hour, two, three a day, on your own level, at your own pace, when I say learn, real learning, disconnection from the world and etc. And if you want to start learning and you don't know where to go, I'll help you find that too. I have a good rabbi. Call him a friend, but he's a rabbi. He's very close to me. His name is Rabbi Yaakov Rahimi. He runs this program called Back to Sinai. So it's something where you sign up and you can start learning with the Chavruta one-on-one on the phone at your own times, at your own convenience, and it's completely free of charge. He just wants more people to learn. And it's a beautiful thing. It's an online yeshiva. And you can learn any topic you want. You can tell them your level, your spiritual level, and they'll organize you with the perfect match for you. You can start learning once a week, every day, whatever a person wants to do. Anyways, when you sit and learn for that dedicated amount of time, taking your brain, focusing, crunching, trying to understand the Gemara, the concepts, the ideas, Mesirat Yesharim, Shaar Bitachon, like what we're about to do now, you know, the weekly parasha, all these beautiful, you know, this beautiful Torah that Hashem gave us, that's what gives you life. And when you're not learning, all you're going to be able to think about is, I can't wait to go back to learning. I can't wait to go back and to sit. It's like when a person is learning Torah, you don't need a break. This is the break. This is the break from life. Sitting and learning the metikut, the sweetness. This is Torah Chaim. This is the life. This is what gives you energy to go through business. This is what gives you energy to build a beautiful marriage. This is what gives you the energy to deal with life and to not just deal with life, but to cruise through life. Kind of like in an ocean, you know? Ruach Hashem merachefet al pnei ha'mayim. When you're in an ocean, if you just let the wind, the water take you, which is the Torah, you're gonna cruise. You fight against the world. You're like, no, Hashem, but I want this and I want that. You're gonna sometimes drown. You're gonna drown in all this stuff because it's not really who you are. Your soul is attracted to this. Your soul wants this. Your soul, this is what the soul wants. And unfortunately, the more that we go in the other directions in this world and we don't go towards this, we drown in it. We become like the fish who is out of the water tank, grasping for air, dying, jumping, spinning, whatever, because we're desperate. We're desperate for life. And we're going towards things that we think will give us life. We think that will give us happiness and good feelings, but it's doing the complete opposite. The Torah, however, on the other hand, oh my God, it gives you everything. It heals your trauma. It heals your sadness, depression, anxiety, fears, worries, brings goodness into your life, brings your soulmate quicker, easier. Sometimes when the person is dating, it's so hard to get to the chuppah. You're like, I want to get there already. It makes the whole process smooth. It makes business smooth. It makes your relationship with your friends smooth. Everything is smooth and calm and easy. You know why? Because you feel inside of yourself, I'm close to Hashem. I feel Hashem with me right now. I feel that cool small that cool wind. Because happiness doesn't have to be posting on social media, look at what I'm doing and look at what I'm saying and look where I am and look at who I'm with. All this attempt for this like rush, this validation, this social acceptance. When a person's close to Hashem, ever think to yourself for a second, how is it possible that people in Sfat and Bnei Brak, they have flip phones and they're 10 times more happy than we are? And if you look, they're not jumping in the street. They're just doing their things. They're calm. They're relaxed. But if you talk to them, they smile and their face lights up. Why? Why are they so calm? Because that's what happiness is. Happiness is peace of mind. It doesn't have to be something that you're showing to everybody to look at what I have and what I'm doing and what I'm... No, happiness is an internal feeling. And that's what I'm trying to tell you guys here, is that this book, this $20 sefer, $30, whatever it is that we're about to start doing now. This is a very long introduction, but you know, had it inside of me. This what we're doing now, this is the solution for life. And we should be very happy that we got a chance to come to this world, to come to this class on this day, and to hear this message. It's not me talking, it's Hashem. We should be very happy and grateful that we came to this world in order to hear this message once. Many people, Rav Victor Miller says, he writes it himself, if a person comes to this world and thinks about the Creator one time, he already accomplished his life's purpose. The fact that we're Jews and we're born into this you know, amazing families and amazing communities and so much Torah and growth, and we know the truth, now we just have to live it. It's one thing to know. That's the easy part. To learn, to know, to have the information, yes. But the question is now, what are you going to do with that information? Are you going to take yourself and mold yourself to be close to God and to completely redesign your life in a way that you will be unrecognizable and everything good will just come to you and everything will just be easy? It's one thing to say, but it's another thing to do. And it's actually very simple. How do you start? We're going to learn Shaar Bitachon now. And then tomorrow, everyone wake up and say, okay, my focus of today is, how do I start learning more Torah? Where do I go? What do I do? Which rabbi do I call? Which rabbitson do I call? How do I bring more Hashem into my life by sitting down and learning? And that's going to be the introduction. So guys, open up to page 71 and we're going to start. If anyone has any questions also, feel free to ask. Okay. So we actually, last time we did the class, we actually finished the introduction of the Sefer. 70 pages of introduction. Shivim Panim LaTorah. So now we're on page 71, and we're going to start to go through the definition of trust. And again, those of you who weren't here before, we're taking out everything we know. We're learning something new. So everyone with me? Number one? Yes? No? Yes? The definition of trust. This is trust, not what Instagram teaches. This is what God is teaching. So listen up. Perek Rishon, we now start the first perek, long introduction. The text up to this point served as the introduction to the Shaar HaBitachon, the gate of trust. And now we're going to learn what trust is. The author now gives us a definition of the subject of the Shaar, the gate, which is to have bitachon, trust in Hashem. Ach Meut HaBitachon. And by the way, everyone, as I'm reading, read it with me, like quietly, like when you say the Amidah, because when you read it, you're sowing it onto your soul. You're making it a part of you and who you are and who you're becoming. Bezrat Hashem, amen. The essence of bitachon, and I'm trying to go slow. I like to talk fast. Hi menuchat nefesh abotach is the tranquility of the mind of the one who trusts. Happiness equals peace of mind. That means a person who trusts in Hashem is going to be a man whose mind is at peace. Let's say that again. That means that a person who trusts in Hashem is going to be a man whose mind is at peace. This is because he has confidence that the person in whom he trusts, or the Creator, the being, will do what's good and right for him. What it's saying here is that when a person understands Hashem's capabilities, that Hashem could do anything for you, and he's better to trust than a boss or a parent or someone you think has power in this world, a president, whatever it is. When a person has a clear understanding that I have to trust in Hashem, and they have confidence that Hashem could do everything for me, it gives you peace of mind to give him the burden. Like it says in Tehilim, Perek Nun Hey, chapter 55, Hashlech al Adonai Yavcha V'hu Yechalkelecha. Hashem says, throw on me your burden, and I'm going to take care of it for you. So the same thing here. When you throw on Hashem everything, and you have confidence that he's going to take care of it, he's going to bring you your soulmate, your panasah to your door, like the man in Egypt, all these things Hashem is going to take care of for you. You just have to do your part every day to learn and to be close to him. Then you sleep very good at night, and you go through the motions of your day. You go through your day in a lot simpler of a fashion, because you know that God's taking care of everything for you, right? Is it clear to everyone? It's a clear idea. You just throw it on the person, on the creation, their creator that could take care of it for you. In regards to the subject in which he trusts, and according to his ability to trust. Meaning a person has to open up himself to trust too. And that means if you trust in Hashem in business matters, you will have confidence in achieving business success. If you are trusting in Hashem in regards to your health, you will have confidence in health matters. In either case, you must still exert yourself to achieve the desired outcome. And I have a lot of personal stories about this, but for another time. But if you do it with the intention of using the method of bitachon, you will be doing it without anxiety and with the feeling of confidence that it's going to succeed. I don't know about you guys, but does anybody in this room have someone in their life that they really trust with things that you just like, you know that if you call this person, they're going to be there for you? Even that person can't do everything. I have a person in my life who I know, his name is my father. I know that if I call him, he'll be there for me in a lot, in many ways. But even I know his capabilities, and sometimes even he can help me with a specific thing. Same thing, and I have friends I can call. I have people that I know. I have specific people that I know that I can pick up the phone and call them, and they're going to help me with many, many things. But even I know their limits. When it comes to Hashem, and really it's a fallacy for me to even say that, because even that person, you trust them because you know their limits, but Hashem could do everything. And really, I should start to pick up the phone and dial Hashem 613, 613 on the, not 911. I should get more used to doing that, because I think it'll get me a lot farther in life. You see, I just got a clarity in the middle of the class. But it just goes to show that even that person that we think we could trust, we should start getting used to picking up the phone and dialing Hashem, because that's really the one that's going to help us. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, every time I did that, massive success. This also assumes that the person in whom he trusts knows what is for his benefit. And this is a very important principle. I'm going to underline it. Because even sometimes when we call someone and ask them for advice, they sometimes give us an advice that they think is going to be good for us. When it comes to Hashem, Hashem does it. Not only can we trust Hashem to do it and we can throw it on Him, but Hashem also knows our best benefit. Sometimes a person thinks, well, I was going out with someone and I really believed and thought it was for me, but it just didn't work out. Why? Because Hashem sees 10 steps ahead. Where I really wanted to work in a specific company, a specific job, business, it didn't work out. I was so confident, I was excited to start, it didn't work out. Why? Hashem saw 10 steps ahead, He has something better waiting for you. You know what? I wrote this down, I forgot it, but I want to say it to you guys. You ready? This is a very nice line. Here, when things go your way, that's Hashem's protection. When things go your way, it's Hashem's protection. When things don't go your way, that's Hashem's direction. You like that? Nice. Wait, sorry, it's the other way around. When things go your way, it's Hashem's direction. And when they don't go your way, it's Hashem's protection. My bad. Right, yeah, it's the opposite. I read it the wrong way. So when it goes your way, it's Hashem's direction. Like you feel Hashgacha Pratit, like Hashem's taking me to my destination, my path. My bad, guys. And when I don't approve that message. And when things don't go your way, it's Hashem protecting you, saying I have something better waiting for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Aval ha'ikar asher ba'avuro yiyah bitachon min ha'boteach. But the most important element as the cause for trust, and by the way, when we make mistakes, it's also divinely ordained. So, ve'im, that's why you have to understand that we're on our own path. Ve'im yipaked lo yimatzeh bitachon. And if it's missing, it's not considered trust. Hu shiyeh libo batuach kemi sheyiftach bo. Is that he should have confidence in the one whom he trusts. So you can't trust Hashem only when you're like feeling like a very spiritual high. You have to trust Hashem in every single moment. So even when you wake up and you're not feeling it, you're going through the ups and downs of life, you have to still trust Hashem in your heart. Meaning very simply, Hashem, I don't want to trust you right now because I'm not feeling it, in your own words, however you're feeling, but I'm gonna keep trusting you, and what I'm gonna do to get out of a funk right now is to come closer to you. Don't get out of a funk by going the other way. Try to get out of a funk by going closer to Hashem, by learning, by talking to Him, by praying, by even exercising, taking care of your body. The Rambam writes that if a person is not in good physical shape, he's very far from his Creator. It's a very crazy idea, but it's true. When a person has to exercise, take care of yourself, eat clean, take care of yourself, sleep, all these things are very important in your service to Hashem. I remember Gedalia would say in his classes, he's like, all these chassidim, Thursday night, cholin, 2 a.m., kishke, nonstop. It's not what Hashem wants. It's fun here and there. I'm not saying not to do it. I love doing it. I love going to Williamsburg and with my friend Oren and buying all the cholin and all the stuff they have. They have crazy stuff, beef jerky. I happen to find the fun, but it's not gonna give you the best tefillah and shachrit the next morning when you have all that sitting inside of you digesting. So that confidence is the most important element in trust. It's very important. Listen to this. A person must have confidence that the one he trusts will keep his word and fulfill what he promised, and to do what's best for him. Crazy thing. Anybody know someone in their life that could do this for you? I don't. It is as David HaMelech said, 86. Who is the man who desires life? 86 is on the bottom, right? Who loves days of seeing good. By the way, when it says life here, Chaim is referring to a life of Torah and closeness to Hashem. Who loves days of seeing good? Guard your tongue from evil, slashonara, that's where it comes from, and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Turn away from all negativity in your life, including thoughts, by the way, not just, you know, people or things or bad environments. Protect your energy. You ever hear that saying? Protect yourself. Don't be around the things that are going to not make you feel good, very practically speaking. And do good. Even if you have a friend that's your friend for years, you know, if the person doesn't add to your life, it's like a relationship. You don't want two empty people to come into a marriage and to drain the other person. You want two whole people to come into a marriage in addition to give to make the other person's life better. Not to completely lose track of life and your priorities when the other person's in your life. Quick dating tip. Seek peace and pursue it. Meaning the pursuit is what we're in now. Every day, going, learning, driving, shiur Torah. I have a shiur here, I have to run there, I have a minyan. Sorry, I have to hang up the phone, I gotta go. All these things, this is part of getting close to Hashem. So it's as David HaMelech said, those who desire life, who love days of seeing good, guard your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit, turn away from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. If they follow these instructions, Hashem promises to give them a long life. And it's not only that Hashem promises to give you a long life by living a life of Torah, you will have a long life, because if you have bitachon and you have calmness and serenity, you're not stressed out all the time. Because when you have bitachon and Hashem, you're just... Imagine days of being calm, like halavai. What do I do? What pill do I buy? No, learn Torah and trust Hashem. So easy, but it's also very complicated. He shall also think with confidence that the one in whom he trusts will do these good things for him, even if he did not make any conditions. Meaning, Hashem, newsflash, Hashem loves you. He just wants to take care of you. You have to just let him. Like it says in Masechet Sotah Daf Yomi Amud Bet, any person that thinks that they could do anything in their life and they could, you know, control, Hashem's like, okay, if you're going to control everything, then what do I do? Anytime a person thinks that they could do it and they could suffocate it, Hashem's like, okay, so where do I come in and help you? That's why the word I is like a very big, it's a false advertising. I, you cannot do anything. Hashem could fix it. Hashem could make it happen. You just got to let him in. You have to invite Hashem into your life. Into every category, every place you can, as much as you can. At your own pace, at your own time. In fact, sometimes a person may not be worthy, and yet he should still trust in Hashem, as we're going to see further. This is reminding me that Rav Nachman says sometimes when a person falls, you guys like this in the middle explanations? Or should we? Yeah, it's good. Baruch Hashem. Rav Nachman says that sometimes when sometimes Hashem is mechaseh your daat, he covers your clear thinking, just for the purpose so you could fall. Sometimes we get upset on ourselves, but I did that, I fell, how could I? I've been growing. No. Yerida, letzorach aliyah. Yoshev beseter elyon. Sometimes Hashem wants you to go down because He wants to rise you afterwards, because you have to learn something from that downfall. This is very big when a person is starting to make tshuva, you know, bala tshuva, to come closer to Hashem. You're going to fall sometimes. Why? Sometimes Hashem wants you to fall to remind you, look at the people you used to hang out with, look at the places you used to go to come in there with your new head and to see, wow, I'm so happy I'm on this right track. Yes, I failed to come here or to be here or to be with this person I shouldn't be with, but like, look at how different I feel as I'm here. That'll give you more chizuk when you go away to stay away. Does that make sense? Okay. So we should trust in Hashem to do what He promised. As it is written constantly in the Tanakh, we should also trust Him to do what He didn't promise, because we know that He is the source of kindness and He wishes to do good to mankind.
Wait, what did He promise?
What we just read, you see 86 in the bottom? So you see at the end how it says that who is the man who desires life, right? who loves days of seeing good. Guard your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. This is Hashem's promise. Hashem's promise is that when you're going to live a life of bitachon and being close to me, that Hashem is going to take care of you. He's going to completely take care of you. Does that make sense? Hashem's promise is Olam Haba, this world and the next. You just have to follow my chukim and mishpatim, my Torah. Torah in Hebrew comes from the word hora'ah, instructions. So when we follow the instruction manual, the promise is that Hashem is going to do his part too. It's measure for measure. When we do what we have to do, Hashem is going to take care of what he has to do. Hashem's not going to say, oh look, this boy or girl is learning, growing, my son or daughter, they're doing the right things and I'm just going to abandon them. The opposite. When we stop trying to control things and just let it go, like when a fist is closed, nothing can come into it, right? When you just open it up, how? By trusting Hashem practically, all of a sudden blessing can start to come to you because you're not holding on to things anymore. And your energy changes as a person, things, you become like a magnet. This is the promise. The promise is you do your part, Hashem says, I will do mine. You stop worrying and I'll start doing. It's very simple. Make sense? Okay. Shia'asehu nedava v'chesed. The person who has trust should have confidence that the one in whom he trusts will do it as a voluntary gift and kindness. What this means, voluntary gift, is that there's actually an idea in the Torah where a person can say, okay, Hashem, I wanna give you, let's say, all the good in my life, and you give me Y. Like I'm gonna trade X mitzvah, and you can do that. I'm not saying, I'm not recommending it, but what it means here, voluntary gift, is that Hashem is saying, not only am I gonna not take away from your schar in the next world, what's waiting for you, I'm gonna do good for you as a gift because of how much I love you. It's an extra step. Does that make sense? Like instead of God taking the good that you did, the Shabbat that you kept, and the years that you've been doing X, Y, and Z mitzvah, instead of taking that and rewarding you, Hashem is going to do good for you as a gift because of how much He loves you. It says here, voluntary gift and kindness, Hashem's infinite kindness and love, even to those who don't deserve it. In other words, you should not only trust in Hashem to do what He promised, but even to do what He did not promise.
But I have a question. I don't understand where it says that will do these good things for even if he did not make any conditions or not make any promises.
Yeah, where are you?
After 86, like paragraph after that.
This part right here, did not make any promises?
Because make any conditions.
Yeah, because we shouldn't think that Hashem has like some kind of a condition or promise with us, some kind of an agreement or a contract. It's rather that when a person has bitachon and Hashem and starts to learn about bitachon and applies these things, as you see a couple lines later, Hashem is going to do it to you as a voluntary gift, meaning Hashem's happy to do it. It's as a kindness. It's like it's a piece of me. Like you know how in this world when you do things for people they expect something back. It doesn't work that way with God. When you do things for God and serve God, He's going to go out of His way to do extra for you because of how much He loves you.
And if you're not serving Hashem, it still says here like
exactly
that He will give you a voluntary gift even if you don't deserve it. You're not.
Exactly. That's why it says that even to those who don't deserve it. That's why people that go against God and do the most horrible things, they still wake up in the morning, they still have a chance to make tshuva and to change because Hashem is... He loves you. He Hashem has infinite patience and infinite kindness. And even sometimes when the person's not going in the right track, Hashem is still waiting for you to come back to Him. And a great example of this is look at the Israeli government. A lot of them are Jewish people. They're going against people that are learning. They're doing all these horrible things. You might think to yourselves, but they're alive. How is that possible? Even those people who are so far, Hashem still sees their potential, their chance. That's why no person is like some lost case. Anyone, as far as you go, as much as you wage wars with God, you still have a chance to make tshuva, as long as you're here. If it doesn't answer, we could keep trying.
No, I just have more questions. As you're explaining, I have more questions pop up.
That's good. You're learning a new way of thinking. I'm very happy. Yeah. I'll stay here till 2 a.m. I don't care. Yeah.
I think it's also a test for other people. When you see people that you don't necessarily admire, like Rav Torah, and they get rewarded for X reason, and then you're doing all the things you think are right, and your prayers aren't getting answered. You're asking Hashem why. Like, I'm a good person, man. Make moves towards you, not getting what I'm praying for, and this guy who's like anti-religion, whatever, he's getting all the blessings. So it's kind of a test also.
Yeah, that's actually a pasuk where you're saying it says Sadiq Viralo Virasha Vitovlo. Meaning that sometimes God will actually pay that person in this world for the good that they did. And the tzaddik, the righteous person who's going after God, his life is going to look like it's hard. But it's not hard, it's a cleanse. The difficulties, the purpose of pain, the greatest pain is to suck out your greatest potential. To show you what are you going to do in those hard moments. It's a test. Hashem wants to see, you're going to come closer to me, or you're going to run away. It's not easy. Don't think it's easy. And it's, sometimes look like how you're saying, like Shlomo HaMelech says, Olam HaZeheb El Avalim. It's the complete opposite of what it looks like. That person looks like he's having a great life. And me, serving God, it looks like I'm suffering. Look at all the Gdolim. Avraham Avinu was tested to kill his son, and he went to go do it. Came back, his wife was dead. David HaMelech, author Tehillim, his whole life, he's running, he's on the road. He's all these great people in Judaism, they all went through massive trials and tribulations. Not because they're not great, the opposite. It's a compliment to their greatness, because it shows that they could handle it. And the person who has everything going for himself, it's kind of a fallacy, because it's, at the end of the day, it's, what is it? It's a couple years of physicality. Where does it get you? But when you come close to Hashem, you have an extreme level of happiness and joy because you're on the right track. And it's going to be hard, but don't get discouraged from the fact that it's hard. It's actually a good thing that it's hard because you learn to appreciate things. It makes you stronger, it molds you. And there's no limit to how much a person can endure. There's no limit to how much you can actually grow through because that's how strong you actually are. It's a compliment to your strength. That makes sense? It's the opposite really of what it looks like, because I'm sure every person in this room, if you look at the hardest things that you went through in your life, when it was over, you saw like, wow, I passed that and got me a lot, got me to where I am today. I learned from it, I grew from it, you know? So that's really what it is. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
They have that kind of bracha because of their mazel. They have that mazel. But then they're lacking mazel maybe in shidduchim. Maybe they can't have a good marriage. They don't have shalom bayis.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's couples that the husband sits there, he learns Torah all day. And they have like the best shalom bayis. And they have like the best marriage. And their house is filled with love and nothing and a bunch of kids. So I really think that it has to do with mazel.
I have an answer you may not like. Do you remember when Hashem told Abraham to go gaze at the stars and to count them and you're gonna multiply, etc.? The Gemara said that Hashem was actually telling Amar Aminu to look ma'ala mazah, to look above the stars. Meaning, what you're saying is true. People are born in this world and they do have a specific mazal. Let's say easy to them, whatever he touches turns to gold, or his first shiduch, he gets married. That is mazal, 100%. But the beauty is that Hashem is telling his children, you can actually go above the mazal. Meaning, even if a person is destined to be poor, if you really cry and open up the gates of Shamayim, you can go above what you were destined to become and change reality. So there's that element too. Like that's why when a person prays, a person has to pray for what's good for them. Because if Moshe would have prayed one more time, he prayed 515 times, right? By the way, 515 is also the gematria of tefillah. And that was in Parasha Vayetchanan, also gematria 515. Just a sweet little piece. But if a person actually prays to Hashem for something that's not good for them, Hashem will eventually give it to you. That's why when a person is dating or going into business, the way to pray is, Hashem, I, Jonathan, wanted to go X, Y, and Z way. I want it to be like this. But if it's good for me, if not, take it away. I want to marry this person and say how you feel, but if it's not good for me, take it away. I want to do X, Y, and Z business, but if it's not good for me, take it away. Because we don't know what's good for us. But if we pray for a specific outcome, long and hard enough, it'll happen. But who knows if that was the best thing for us. And that's why when a person has a certain mazal oriented to a certain direction, that's because that's, like you said beautifully, that was for them to hit their tikkun. But if they really pray and use the fact that they were born into a life poor, and they pray to Hashem that if it's good for me to have money and I put in the effort and it works, you could also sometimes change your destined outcome by growing. By getting closer to Hashem, Hashem can give you more. And sometimes a person can use that money or can use that easy way of getting married to help other people get married, or to use that change of mazal to flip the script in a way. But it all comes back to one. You can go on with this for hypotheticals for hours, but the whole purpose of the script is for one outcome, which is to get close to Hashem. To get close to Hashem and to live the life that He wants us to want, which is the ultimate bitul of what we want. Like, for example, if I'm walking in my house and I stub my toe, I go, ow! I scream. Why? Because the pain pushed out a scream. It was a bitul of my character in that moment. It was an ow because it was such a high pain that I was forced to scream. Same thing with Hashem. When Abraham told Hashem to go sacrifice Yitzchak, it wasn't that Abraham sat and thought about it. Abraham Avinu's entire life, his entire psyche, his personality, his DNA was, I am a servant of God. So when Hashem told Abraham to go sacrifice his son Yitzhak, he didn't think about it for a second. Hashem, yeah, okay. Hashem, I approved this message. You got up, told Yitzhak, we're going. Yitzhak, let's go. They did it. They didn't think. Not only did they not think about it, but they were happy to do it because they were serving Hashem's will. It's the craziest thing to try to understand because, of course, we're never going to be tested. Halvai not to go sacrifice our son. But it just goes to show that a person can get to a level where they completely nullify their will and do what Hashem wants. Interestingly enough, this is one of my favorite psukim of all time. It says in Pirkei Avot, Ya'aser kitzoni kitzoncha, Ya'aser kitzoncha kitzono. When a person nullifies his will and pursues Hashem's will, Hashem will make your will like His will. So it's not that the girl or the boy you're going out with is the wrong person for you. It's that you have the wrong intention behind it. You're trying to force the outcome. You're trying to make it happen. But maybe sometimes when you... Who knows if it's meant to be or not. But maybe sometimes when you give the control back to Hashem and say, Hashem, I really want to be with this person and I want to pray for them specifically, but I want what you want. Maybe Hashem, maybe the whole purpose of that person you care about so much and want to marry, that you gave you that power to want to do that, you take that and you give it back to Hashem. Maybe through giving it back to Hashem, Hashem will say, okay, he passed the test. Now I'm going to give him what he wants, which is this person. But you can just see how you can end up in the chuppah in a way where you forced it and pushed it because it came from me, from you, the ego. Or you can let it go and let Hashem, and it'll happen anyways. But it'll just happen a lot smoother. And you could take that example for everything in your life. Things will come to you and happen sometimes anyways, but what's the mahalach behind it? Is it me trying to force it happen? Or is it me saying, Hashem, I want to walk down your path, take me there. And then it'll just happen. Does that make sense? Any other questions? So it's really clear. So we'll do a summary of chapter 1. We're already at an hour. Should we keep going? You guys want to keep going? Another couple minutes? It's already at an hour. I don't want to bother anyone. I don't have somewhere to be. South Beach. Definition of trust in Hashem. One who trusts in Hashem will have tranquility of mind and will be confident that Hashem will do what is best for him. Bitachon means total confidence in Hashem to provide for him in a kindly way, even if he is not deserving of it, and even if Hashem did not promise to do so. Like you were saying before, he didn't promise to do it, but he does it because he has infinite kindness for his children. Next page, number 2. So I guess we'll go through another page or two, and we'll call it a night. It's also, I want you guys to have the space to process everything. It's a lot of information coming at you at once. Conditions needed for trust. By the way, just to explain how the layout of the page, on top is the Shara Bitachon. On the bottom, you see, it says Perek Sheni. That's what's bringing down from the bottom, the translation. And then you're going to see in the less bold paragraphs, that's Ravigda Miller's commentary. So the beauty of this book is that it's not just the R Scroll translation, it's also Ravigda Miller giving his commentary. So making it super, super sweet to digest and to learn. It's really a lot of fun. That's why I say if anybody wants to take this sefer home, you could take it on the condition that you're going to use it. If you're not going to use it, leave it here and use it every week. But if you really want to use it every day, I approve that message. So Perek Sheni, we now start the second Perek. In this Perek, the author gives 7 reasons that warrant having bitachon in Hashem. 2.1. The seven conditions for trust. So we're about to go through 7 conditions, in meaning what condition... Like, I want to trust in this, I want to trust in Hashem. So now it's going to break through every reason you would think not to trust in Hashem and show you how you really could. We'll do maybe 2-3 of them and we'll call it a night. And if anybody has questions again. There are 7 qualities or conditions that would make it possible to trust other human beings. Of course, no single human being will have all of these qualities. But if he has some of them, you may be moved to trust him. Of course, Hashem has all of these qualities, so you can put your complete trust in Him. The first condition to trust in the person is kindness. right? I'm sure everybody wants to trust in the kind person, someone who's going to be nice to you. Achat mehen, the first of them is harachamim v'achemla v'ahava, the combination of compassion, sympathy, and love. What a sweet combo. If the person whom you want to trust doesn't have feelings of kindness for other people, empathy, then it's hard to trust in him, because you think if they're not going to trust, they're not going to have empathy and sweetness towards other people, how are they going to have it towards me, right? But Hashem is unequaled in the quality of kindness, which includes compassion, sympathy, and love. He feels this kindness, talking about Hashem, capital H. Capital H is always Hashem. He feels this kindness, especially towards the Jewish nation. As it says, he loves his nation, Israel. Ohev Amo Israel, he says before Shema. Hashem loves the Jewish people. Hashem loves you, he loves me, he loves all of us. He loves his children. It's beautiful. Ki Adam kesheu yoda b'chavero shehu merachem v'chomel alav. For when a man knows that a certain person has compassion for him and likes him, yiftach bo, when he trusts in him, because he feels good towards that person. V'tanuach nafsho alav b'chol ma shi'atichehu. Me'inyanav. His soul is then at ease in any matter that would require him to bother that person. Notice how it says soul and not mind, because whatever we're experiencing in the physical, in the mind, is really an extension of the soul. The mind doesn't have anxiety, the soul doesn't have trust in Hashem. You get that? It's a bother for a person to do favors for you at various times, but you know your mother will do many things for you even though it's a bother. Therefore, you can trust in your mother. When a person has great love for you, then you can rely on him even though it's going to be a bother for him. You know he'll do it for you anyhow. That's the first quality, that Hashem loves the Jewish people so much that a Jew is justified in trusting in Hashem to always act in the matter in which you have placed your trust. But this presumes that you yourself behave in support of the action that you trust. If you refuse to eat, you can't trust in Hashem to keep you alive without eating. It's like the famous thing, a person says, Hashem wants me to live until 120, but what if I jump off a bridge? No, dummy, you chose to end your life at 32 by jumping off the Verrazano Bridge. It's not what Hashem wanted for you. Same thing with unhealthy habits. People that are overweight or smoke or do unhealthy things to them, harmful things to themselves, doesn't mean that Hashem wanted to end their life sooner. They just chose with their b'chira to do things that are not good for their body, and that in effect ended their life in a shorter time period. But you can come up to Olam Haba and Hashem didn't say, I wanted you to live 10 more years, but you had a cigarette or a nicotine addiction and you ended your life sooner. So we can't expect that by having bitachon and Hashem. Of course, there's these cases of people that smoke and live long lives. We're not talking about exceptions to the rule. We're talking about practically speaking. You know, my grandfather was a diabetic. He passed away. You can't run into the street against the red light, trusting in Hashem to protect you. When a person does what he's supposed, we have to follow in a way the laws of nature, which is to practically take care of yourself. When a person does what he's supposed to do and he trusts in Hashem, then he knows that Hashem will fulfill what he expects of him. What this means is that you can't wake up tomorrow and say, oh, I listened to the class, Jonathan spoke so nicely, Hashem did, not me. Let me just wait in bed for a miracle to happen. It doesn't work that way. Hashem expects you to get up and to go to work and to fill up a job resume and to look for a job and to, you know, sometimes a shiduch, a resume, or whatever it is. Of course, if you're on a very high level and you really believe things will come to you, then do it that way. I approve that message. But practically speaking, you have to do your hishtadlu. You have to do what makes sense. Until what makes sense is going to be an elevated sense. Does that make sense? Yeah? Elevated sense meaning you grew, and now what makes sense for you is to trust more and to let things come. But with what you know now, you have to come from where you're at. The second condition, which is caring. Vashanit. The second condition for one to trust another individual is sheyeh yodea bo ima havato. That he knows that in addition to the love that the patron, which is the person taking care of him, has for him, she'enenu mit'alem imeno. The patron will never ignore him. It may be that the patron is a very busy man, and so he might forget about you. V'lo mit'atzel b'cheftzo. The second condition is that, like Hashem, the patron will never be too lazy to carry out the wishes of the one who trusts him. Aval hu yodea bo shehu mishtadel. Rather, the trusting person knows that the patron will exert himself. U'maskim la'asoto. And he's always willing to do it. So if you have a friend whom you know is always thinking about you, and he makes it a point never to forget about you, you will have all the more reason to have confidence in him. But Hashem is better than any friend in this respect, any person in the world. Hashem is the best therapist. He always listens. You don't have to pay him $1,000 an hour. You just stop. Hashem's listening. without any no bills, no checks, nothing. The best therapist, 10 times better than any therapist, because his mind is always on you, and he will never neglect to do what's necessary for you. Hashem says, "Kim loit barar lo mimen." Isn't this so beautiful? It's like life. Kim loit barar lo mimenu kol zeh. If he is not certain of all this, lo yeh bitchono alav shalem. His trust in him will not be full. In order to rely on Hashem, you must have full trust in his memory, and you must be so sure that he will not be too busy to think about you. Isn't that crazy? Hashem has to take care of the ants and the birds and the horses and all the whole entire world Hashem is taking care of. And he has a second about his day to think about me, to worry about me and my things that I think are small. Hashem, it's huge. That's we're talking about God here. We're talking about the creator of the world. You think the creator of the world forgot about you? He's giving you life every moment and opportunities and potential. And if you really stop and think about Hashem for 5 minutes, your neshama is going to explode. You're going to start dancing. It says that in the Sefer, in the later chapters, if a person gets to that level of clarity, of living with bitachon and emunah constantly, you're going to dance in the street, and people are going to call you crazy. You're not dancing because you're high on drugs, you're dancing because you have trust in Hashem, and you almost like, everyone's like in some kind of a simulation, you know, NPCs like they say nowadays, everyone's going, doing. Person with emunah and bitachon and Hashem, he's walking with him, walking with a little, you know, hop in his step, and he's going and he's moving and he's happy because he has trust in Hashem. The trust will not be complete if the trusting person knows that sometimes the patron forgets and sometimes neglects to carry out the things that the trusting person wants. But if the patron combines both these qualities, that is, Godel Rachamanuto Alav, the greatness of his compassion for the trusting person, and the abundance of care that he shows for his concerns, yiftach bo mi beli safek, the trusting person will surely have confidence in him. We can trust in Hashem because he has two qualities. He has these two qualities, his great love for us and his care for us. And we're going to stop here, because next time I actually want to go over this again, because it's very important to know this information. So just to finish, we just came into the month of Adar. Adar stands for En Davar Ara, nothing bad happening in the world. Mishnichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha. Whoever enters the month of Adar is increasing their happiness. So remember that this month is an extra reason to smile. There's an extra reason to be happy. There's an extra reason to have that hop in your step. And there's an extra reason to know that everything happening in your life is divinely ordained. You have nothing to worry about, and just to smile more and to be happy. My name is Jonathan Ben Shimol. Thank you all for coming. And of course, I approve this message.